enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. And with that kind of altruistic motivation, that we should participate in this teaching.
다 나란 소말로 언니. 말에 다 고아단 게 송기 동네 타르네. 이제 타바다 텐치비 공부 톱 톱대기가 더 톱거구요 알아봤어.
I believe that all of us are seeking complete freedom or liberation from cyclic existence or samsara in general and particularly the three bad migrations. In other words, I believe that we are all seeking to become fully enlightened persons.
No, that is any only tongue. 아니 깨봤어 봤니 야 지는 리뷰야 말이지 원 하시는 가본 건 마음네 가본 리뷰 말이 송자 공부 당분이 도시네 공부 당분이 야 접네 다른 배는 받치네 사타 람치 아니 아니 나비야 그 캐버스 다른 바 이긴데 야 조이네 아니 타워다 당시 배 공부 타고구요 아니
So in order to work towards our ultimate spiritual goal, that is complete enlightenment, we have to pursue the path from its beginning stage. In other words, there is a gradual path leading to the complete enlightened state, and we need to start it from where it should be started. The point I'm trying to make is that we cannot start somewhere in the middle, just jump right there, and then it's almost like bypassing many beginning steps and somewhere start in the middle and go all the way to enlightenment. Or there's no way that we can start from some kind of advanced level and then just work backward, so to speak. We need to understand that there is a complete structure of path which involves different levels of path as well as the different spiritual grounds. In Tibetan we call salam, sa meaning spiritual grounds, or bhumis in Sanskrit, lam meaning path. So we need to look at the structure of the path and start it from the beginning and then progress gradually on the path and grounds toward enlightenment.
rang chue ti dube yin ane a dungi thangi da che dungi da dungi ju thangi da che ne ene thaba da thabe thangi shi be komba ta thar tu ba che to oyo na sam bitas ki tendi to che go ya maris
There is no need for us to worry about if we follow this particular path that I'm talking about, which is complete structure of the path, which consists of different levels of path and different spiritual grounds. We do not have a doubt that if I follow this path, would it really help me to be free from suffering and its causes for good? Or would it really lead me to complete freedom state and complete enlightenment where I want to be?
Sanji Tangmi Chung Sara, Tanda Yatar, Chung Shing Kimber, Mamopana Sanji Tangmi Chung. Tahana Yigani, her Tembandi on the Seva Yenaya, and Daja Tombakis of Sanji, Chung Kolokor, and eh, that Unipuni pe ta, there's a town in the Rakita Tavadanji Kumba Top Simba Tinazu Hakor, that Tinzu Mazu Tonji, the arrest, that Kiji arrest. Was that Tinzu any Ranzorita, pay Zambuki Chagar was.
So if you wonder how could I, make that claim, it is grounded in, as you might say, facts and figures in today's language, or there are evidence to back up the claim I just made. According to our belief, that there have been innumerable Buddhas already, and they have all followed the same path, similar steps of the path, which led them to the final destination. In other words, they become Buddhas. And so we do talk about, you know, coming of, you know, hundreds of Buddhas to our world. And the one we know, I mean, most popularly in the world is the Buddha Shakyamuni. And the Shakyamuni Buddha came to our world, and he showed us through his whole life experiences the path that leads you know, any interested individuals to the complete enlightened state. And through his own teachings and guidances, many other innumerable beings have actualized and high realizations and attained various levels of spiritual states. So all of these things are provide us evidence, if you will, to verify that by following the complete steps of the path that I'm talking about, that we will be able to achieve highest enlightenment. If we look at the life stories of many sublime or the realized holy beings, and they have attained different levels of realizations, broadly speaking, they attained nirvana, complete freedom from samsara, and complete enlightenment or Buddhahood by following the same structure of the path. So we have been very fortunate to be able to have access to the same path, structure of the path. And additionally, when we look at the basis upon which we can cultivate the path, whether it's the physical basis or the mental basis, you know, we have the same physical and mental base to be able to cultivate a path and progress to complete enlightened state. The point I'm trying to make here is this, that when we look at the physical basis or the body of the holy beings, you know, who have already achieved high realizations, they have the same body as we have, or we have the same body as they have, you know. And when we look at mind, their mind, you know, is the same as our mind. And so it's through training of the mind and discipline of the mind and practice that they have been able to attain high levels of realization, which we are also, you know, able to attain.
Mm-hmm.
他不是说一直没工作，他不学罢了，他那边，心没把心没把，那心里热度重呢，热度重啊，今年把这个工作没得上，他弄不得点吧，今年热度工作弄不得点吧，工作没得上，太麻烦。Now, Ivan, we may also, question ourselves. Well, that seems all true. You know, I have the same body as they had, or they have, and I have the same mind as they have. But then, must I take monastic ordination, or should I, must I become a monk or a nun? You see, is that the prerequisite or the requirement to become an enlightened being? Is that an essential part of the path of process to enlightened state? The answer is no. Shakyamuni Buddha himself said very clearly, as Geshe-la quoted the line, and I quote, being at home In other words, what it means, being a lay person, being at home meaning being a lay person, you see, still it's possible to reach enlightenment. And he said that enlightenment is in your hand. You could be at home or you could be a lay person. Buddha himself made it clear that when it comes to finding enlightenment, there is no gender differences. In other words, that gender is not a factor, that either impedes one or that that facilitates one to reach complete enlightened state. It's not an issue, Both genders can reach enlightened state equally. And also, I just explained to you that monastic ordination is not a necessary factor in reaching the complete enlightened state. Both monks and nuns, we call monastics, as well as lay practitioners, are able to reach complete enlightened state. Of course, the requirements are that individuals must have genuine interest in spirituality or dharma, cultivating dharma, and then educate themselves in the spiritual matter and cultivate the path in their mind or do the practice. So those are the essential requirements to work towards enlightenment, but other factors such as gender and monasticism or celibacy are not essential factors. Well, then one might start to think, okay, if that is true, so then why do some individuals take monastic ordination, become monks and nuns, and why they have so many vows, monastic vows to keep? Is that just to burden them, just to put an extra burden on these people? Monasticism or monastic ordination is not an essential cause or a factor to reach enlightened state. Nonetheless, it is a great facility or facilitating factor to reach enlightened state faster. And so all the monastic vows that monks and nuns subscribe to and they observe, these create conducive factors and provide facilities for them to develop their mind faster and reach enlightened state faster. Why? Because these vows provide them the space. These vows allow them to have time at their disposal, if you will, and you make time to keep these vows, and these vows remind them to counteract their deluded states of mind all the time. And because these monastic vows become great facilitating factors, that's why the monks and nuns, theoretically speaking, have are in a better situation in a sense of being able to work towards enlightened state faster.
Well, pe ta jamigu shol chene tsa lenke mangbo er sonsa tiba chagre ares luteng che pomo ge luteng ge zubu ge che zam mato domba ge thone ne tiba chayo tiba res
And those who have taken the monastic ordination or who have become monks and nuns of their different levels of ordination, but provided that the levels of ordination are on the same, let's say, fully ordained monks and fully ordained nuns, of course, there is a gender difference, you know. One is a male, another is a female. Other than that, their monastic vows are equally precious. It's not that, one gender's vows are more precious and more profound than the other gender. You see, that should not be. And, in the case of a non-ordination, maybe in a particular tradition, such as Tibetan, we don't have full ordination, but that, but some other tradition, like Chinese Buddhist tradition, has the full non-ordination. So those who have taken the full non-ordination, so their full ordination is as good as the full ordination that monks receive in any tradition, including Tibetan.
So the dependent those patents, Tomo Cheva to pay Zubu, the Zubu Cheva Tanjere Mato, Mato Anipe, Chu Dubi, Kiwa nyam gures, ta nyam kita sanji zaki gures.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that yes, we cannot deny the biological differences or the gender differences, which constitute who we are. You know, some of us are males and some of us are females. But in terms of our capacities and abilities to cultivate spiritual paths, our rights to spiritual paths, our access to spiritual paths, and our potentialities to actualize spiritual realizations, we are all just the same. Okay? So that's why when we look within the Buddhist Buddhism, is we do talk about realized or enlightened both male and female personalities. Right, especially if we look within the Tantric Buddhism, you see, we talk about male and female deities, right, and the deities in union or deities, solitary deities, they are on equal footing, if you will. It's not that, the male deities are higher level or, than the female deities. Buddhas are Buddhas after all. Tara attained Buddhahood on the basis of female gender, she's a woman, who attained enlightenment. So how complete enlightenment or Buddhahood is as good as, male Buddhas? There is not slightest difference.
That thing is mangbo yours, but since then those in Java said, "Ani, the dohaninga lula, ani."
So I would just advise you to just go investigate yourself from both Sutrayana perspective and Tantrayana Buddhist perspectives. Are there any differences between the genders in terms of attaining realizations and so on? As I just laid out, that there should not be and there isn't.
That is the same. Maranzogani, Sanji the Kid, the Gindir, Sandra Shagur was. Sandra Shigis and any Gindu Tele, any Gindu Computer, any Gindu Computer, any Dreta, Susichi Gindita, any Fabi Gindis in Yishi. That Susichi Gindit, Tabata Anita, Susio, Tabata Anita, Susichi Gindu, Tin Drogres, Tibet Towers, Tibet Shavi Tibares, Shavi Imbetiwares.
So why do we need to talk about these things? You know, these are relevant to us in that, you know, also relevant to our practice of refuge. We go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So when we talk about Sangha, in English we simply translate as spiritual community. Broadly stated, it consists of two types of Sangha. One is ordinary Sangha, and other would be transcendental Sangha. So who do we find in the ordinary Sangha that we go for refuge in? We take refuge in. Ordinary Sangha includes, you know, monks and nuns. You know, and so those who have taken monastic ordinations, you know, we don't really differentiate between the genders. They are equally holy, if you want to use that term. And so they become objects of refuge. So they are part of the ordinary Sangha. And one of the three jewels is the jewel of Dharma, which is our actual object of refuge. And so Dharma consists of, you know, different dimensions or different aspects. We could classify Dharma into the jewel of ultimate Dharma, and Dhatabe Chukunjo, jewel of symbolic Dharma. So what do we mean by ultimate Dharma? You know, ultimate Dharma meaning, you know, insights into the ultimate nature of phenomena, everything that exists. And so all the, what we call the path, transcendental paths, the paths of Aryas, constitute ultimate Dharma. And so individuals, notwithstanding their gender differences and other differences, those who have, you know, cultivated any transcendental path, such as path of seeing, these individuals contain or have realized ultimate Dharma. And these are the ones we call Aryas. You know, Aryas could be males and Aryas could be females, you know, in other words. And what is the symbolic Dharma? Symbolic Dharma, you know, is what is contained in the Dharma books or the Dharma scriptures. You know, explanation, as you heard Geshe-la use the word, explanation or elucidation of Dharma.
That is, ani atayang transdeha kugres. Ani nyentu dakyam bata nyunjipane habe kumba todi tilda nyentu taranje. Tenzu ani Public Gendu Chagur Mother Sanji Kunju Tindog Maris.
So, what I just explained is that anyone who has actualized or internalized a transcendental path, as I have just defined, a direct insight into the ultimate nature phenomena, such a person is a real Sangha, Arya Sangha, and has actualized ultimate Dharma. Now, in Buddhism, there are paths leading to different spiritual states that I have explained many times to you. Now those who have attained complete freedom from samsara or cyclic existence, you know, for their own sake, so to speak, and these are called arahants or arahats of Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas, or arahats or arahants of solitary realizers and hearers vehicles. They have completely abandoned what is known as deluded states of mind or delusive obscuration, delusions to be simple. So that means they have counteracted their delusions and they have gotten rid of their delusions and they're completely free from delusions and they are in the state of nirvana or nibbana. Yes, they are arhats or arahants, but they are not on the same level as Buddhas, complete enlightened beings who are also called arahants or the arahats.
That's Sanji Jikode, Sanji Konchose, Sanji Konchotelata, Ani Lucinta, Zukutan Chugusi, Randu Chugota, Yindu Zukusin, that means
she was. So, complete enlightenment is, if you will, a level higher than personal freedom from samsara. Let's simply call it nirvana or nibbana. And enlightenment has its own, dimensions, different aspects. And often we do talk about different enlightened bodies. Broadly stated, we talk about Dharmakaya, or truth body, and Rupukaya, or form body. And so these, enlightened bodies are what are called dimensions of complete enlightenment. And truth body is referred to as the personal body, whereas the form body is referred to as body for others.
Nati te yende zukuse ta ku nimbo te zuk zuku yende zukuse ta sa jene ni singi te dugu ga singi te dugu la ani ta ku namba ten chu sung ga re chu sung chu sung ni singi te dugu ma to ye yu me abre so ta sa ta chu sung ni singi te dugu la ta ani ku namba ten go ku namba ten ya ten do ta te ani longu ta chu ku singi ni ndu shi tak chuku si yate dake tamo kheze tamo khwane lo nyintu nga jang khwane phe ne chwe ten ten chuku yin nama chini tebar tak longu si yate ane khor shang sen khoba kya ta ko omi ni yung ne ne nge pa omi khwane yuwa ta tali nge pa nga di zin du zi yuwa ta ta du sin ha kwa gu resi
So truth body or Dharmakaya is called personal body and Rupukaya or form body is called other oriented body. Now what does that mean? What that means is that once you become Buddha, of course you want to benefit sentient beings in the best possible way, and for that you need to manifest yourself in the visible forms, if you will, or you need to appear in forms, I should say. So that's why form bodies are referred to as other oriented bodies, because you assume form bodies to be able to work for and benefit others directly, if you will, sentient beings. And so that's why when we talk about a form body, a Rupukaya, which you should remember as enlightened body, it consists of two types. One is called complete resource body, Sambhogakaya, Lungu in Tibetan, and the other is called emanation body or Nirmanakaya or Trugu in Tibetan. And an example of Trugu emanation body is that of Shakyamuni Buddha, a historical teacher who manifested in this world. So he came in the form of supreme emanation. Okay? And an example of a complete resource body it could only be found in the a special, if you will, a paradise called Agnishta, Pure Land, Wogmin, Tukukleba in Tibetan. And as a matter of fact, when we look at what constitutes a complete resource body, it consists of five definitive characteristics, and one of which is that complete resource bodies are only found in Agnishta, Pure Land. Another definitive characteristic would be that they are their disciples, if you will, are all Arya Bodhisattvas. Only Arya Bodhisattvas have access to them, and so on.
That is that Rangde Chogu said Chogu to the New Year's. And then, number 23, Chetan Yungosu Topi, and he hit the Chogu Chagu. That the one I get Dwani Pambi, Dini Pambi, then go dance them and do Tawani in Tatuse. Ah, then little Annie, then Lucene, Chukusene. And the Ben duşunu seviyoruz.
Just as you know, we you know, classify form enlightened body or enlightened form body into two types. Do we classify enlightened truth body or Dharmakaya into two types. One is called wisdom truth body or Jnana Dharmakaya, Yishe Chugu in Tibetan, which in other words is the omniscient mind or the wisdom of a Buddha. So that is the Jnana Dharmakaya or wisdom truth body. The other is called natural truth body or Sabha Bhavekakaya or Ngo Nyiku in Tibetan. And Sabha Bhavekakaya or natural truth body, to simplify it, it refers to the factor, now I'm getting more technical here, the factor of having abandoned completely the two types of mental obscuration to nirvana, called delusions, and obscuration to omniscient state. So that factor of having abandoned the two types of mental obscuration, which is called state of cessation, is the natural truth body. So now when we look at enlightened bodies, you know, we could classify them, you know, into three types, in which case we talk about truth body, complete resource body, and emanation body, or we could talk about four enlightened bodies, in which case we talk about wisdom truth body, natural truth body, complete resource body, and emanation body. And so when we as individuals reach complete enlightened state, we are the ones, you know, who actualize these enlightened bodies we are talking about. In other words, we attain these enlightened bodies, and that's how we become a Buddha. So when we attain one of the enlightened bodies, you know, simultaneously we attain all other enlightened bodies. There's no case of like, you know, you got one or two and not the third or the fourth. You know, once you attain one body, enlightened body, you know, you attain all others. And that's why in a praise to Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumbuche, it's mentioned what Jerumbuche attained, enlightenment in the intermediate state, the state between death and rebirth. We call it Pardo state. And when he attained enlightenment in that state, he actualized all the three enlightened bodies. And to the one, Tsongkhapa, who has enlightenment in Pardo state, I bow down to you because you actualized the three bodies. Okay, so those are the outcomes or the results, okay, or the fruits, you know, that we all like to enjoy, we all would like to have. But then how do we get to enjoy them, and how do we actualize them or reach them, if you will, these enlightened bodies? So this is where, you know, we need to understand the importance and the role of what is known as three principal paths, lamso namsum. Sometimes people translate as three principal aspects of the path, but let's call them three principal paths, that's better. And what are they? They are, one, renunciation, called ngejung in Tibetan, or sometimes we translate as aversion to miseries in samsara or cyclical existence, ngejung. So that is a renunciation, one. Second one is bodhicitta, the altruism, altruistic mind of enlightenment, changchu is the same in Tibetan. Then the third one is the wisdom gone beyond, or the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. Tongnyu tobe sherab in Tibetan is the wisdom realizing emptiness. So these three principal paths should be cultivated within our mind to be able to actualize the enlightened bodies. Okay, so if we structure these three principal paths, you know, what should we cultivate first? First, we need to cultivate renunciation or nyenjung. And so how do we do that? In order to be able to renounce samsara or cyclical existence, we really need to deeply realize, if you will, the suffering nature of samsara and its causes. So we need to really not only understand but deeply realize the suffering nature and its causes of samsara.
That dukkha nibbute dunghe dembe kunji dembe nibbute dikhe ane ta nisu chitawa gendu re ta cheba cheba ta kar gugus na ale ta lech namkya dinga ba che gugus lech namkya.
And so how are we able to understand the true nature of suffering and causes of suffering to cultivate renunciation, if you wonder? That's where we need to study, and we need to understand a law of karma and its dimensions and its outcomes. And so I'm trying to explain to you that when we look within the four noble truths, the truth of suffering or the true suffering, and the truth of cause of suffering or true cause of suffering, we need to realize them in order to cultivate renunciation. And for that, we also need to understand the law of karma and its outcomes.
That dukunji, dukunji, or lende nagyate, lende nagyate ka, dusin ka nagyate. Ani ta dole sta, lukin kunji de dune, lena mimpa, tepe sonsa. Lukin senata, sinjinse, sinjin de lukinji wari. Sinjin namji, ani, devata dunghitan zos. Ani, le shuma imbate, Lili Shuma is kind of that. The team with the Tobasan County is kind of this.
As Geshe-la quoted the lines from Sutra, the words of Buddha, where Buddha said that all the pleasures and unpleasures of embodied creatures, Lutin, embodied creatures, which is the same as saying sentient beings, they arise from, they are the products of a variety of karma. And so in order to understand the nature of suffering and its causes, we need to understand the role of karma.
Lutentang, Tangana Yaka, Nisu, Manga, Tanki, which was. When I think Nandos, that Ignan Devi in Eco, Nisu Manga, which is so told you, Tongu was. The Karizana, lay nuts of a Saya the Manga kick science and things. Marazan lay sasses than any credit kick. I think lay shabo kick in the shabbat mind pay. Rara Sosu lays up in Namiti, Rana Sosu, Mingo, but.
In cyclic existence or samsara, we find six different types of beings, sentient beings. We call six migrators. And we may find ourselves in different realms of existence or different states of existence. You know, we look different and we go through different experiences. We are in different environments. Our experiences are different. But all of these things are due to you know, a variety of karma that we ourselves have accumulated, we have done and accumulated. Even, you know, within one state of existence, for example, you know, individuals or beings, you know, they experience, their experiences are widely different. And these differences of experiences we go through or we witness among ourselves are the results of law of karma. Now, when I say the result of karma, again, I must clarify that it's not that there is a one single karmic agent called creator or somebody out there who creates all kinds of karma, and then we individuals, you know, we experience the results of those karma. No, we experience the results of karmas or karmic actions that we ourselves create and accumulate. So that's why, you know, we have individual differences in experiences, because we create different karma, and so different karmas bring different results.
So that jungwa ni jungwa re tan jungwa yin na sa ta chue ta me ta lung sa ji me lung ta zu ge ni dou shen chu ni no to hi ta ni cha ni ane ta man ga ji dou tong dong wa shi pe ka ji pe ngun ni dou ni ji ji li yue bin na ji ji li yue bin ni na ya an ka ji pe ne shen ji bu ji bu dang ka ji yan zi shen me ba zi ni shi ka ji ni pe ngun ni dong ta Shiro dead nang yi gita tini kya gu duwa se chan ngana dati nguni dhuni minto lazi shi yu ba kira wa se sanu mambu tang ni shi guya tizum shi guya ki zan rim duwa se rungu duwa se.
You know how different karmas that we ourselves create, accumulate, produce different outcomes of the results. This is something in a way we could witness for ourselves. Even given the situation of tragedies, such as the natural disasters, maybe brought upon us by, torrential rain, or natural disasters brought upon us by, you know, destruction of fire, or by the storms and hurricanes, or whatnot. Given that, you know, everybody is caught up in such a tragic situation, still we know that people have different experiences. Many die, you know, many escape, many go through tremendous difficulties, and some not necessarily have to go through the same amount of difficulties. And all these differences, how come? You know, has produced them, if you ask, so these are due to one's own individual karma.
That thing does not mental lazin shiji abate any creator late any majipatita.
So when we witness such situations, right? I mean, yes, it's a tragic situation, you know, hundreds and thousands of people caught up in the same tragic situation, but still, you see, I mean, many survive. Yes, many die, but most survive. And how come, you see? So this shows that there isn't a such thing as one, what we call agent of karma, call it creator, you know, who brings it all this tragedy upon us. If that's the case, then everybody must, you know, have the same experience, because you really don't have control over what you experience, because somebody does the trick on you, you know. But the fact of the matter is, because we create different individual karmas, so being caught up in a similar situation, we go through different experiences. You know, we investigate, we can see that, you know, one particular karma cannot bring, you know, two different types of result. A particular karma brings a particular result.
So that the negata,
So if we really educate ourselves well, you know, about the law of karma, its aspects of the dimensions and outcomes, then we really are able to understand, if you will, the true nature of samsara, why there is so much suffering in samsara, And there are pleasures, but the pleasures are also a form of suffering here. And so then we see that there's really not much true essence, as we would say, that we're trying to find happiness in samsara, some sort of existence. So as we realize the true suffering nature of samsara, then we develop aversion to the miseries in samsara, and we seek a way out of samsara. So that's how we develop renunciation. We are able to renounce samsaric existence. So when looking at the three principal paths, the first level of path, or the foundation, if you want to call it that, is cultivating renunciation, or Nyejung in Tibetan. Then, you know, grounded in that, if you will, now we cultivate altruism, altruistic mind of enlightenment, or what we call bodhicitta, changchu jisem in Tibetan. And how do we do that? We at least have two for different meditational techniques, methodologies, if you will. One is called six causes and one result meditational technique, Kyude Menga Dun. Six causes and one result, meditational instruction on how to cultivate bodhicitta. Then there's a mouthful there for translator. And that's called Kyude Menga Dun in Tibetan. And then there's the Taksen Nyamche, equalizing and exchanging self for others. The another meditation technique to cultivate
bodhicitta.
So how can we cultivate bodhicitta or altruism, whether we use a particular meditational technique or integrate both of them? Where do we begin? The groundwork that we need to prepare is called cultivating a balanced state of mind or sense of equanimity or even-mindedness. In other words, that if we have all kinds of biases, if you will, and prejudices in relation to different beings, we categorize them into friends, enemies, and strangers. So now we categorize them differently. We have different attitudes towards them, different biases towards them. So we don't treat them equally. So an important groundwork to cultivate bodhicitta or altruism is we should be able to see them all as being equal, treat them equally, be able to treat enemies just the way we treat our friends, and we should treat the strangers just the way we treat our friends. So we should be able to develop a sense of equanimity or balanced state of mind in relation to all of them.
To
sum up this particular point is that we need to make a decision in our mind that I'm going to cultivate a sense of equanimity, balanced state of mind in relation to friends, enemies, and strangers. I'll learn to treat all sentient beings as being equal. And so grounded in that, then I'm going to, So grounded in that, then we develop this kind of risk sense that I'm not going to do anything that is harmful to them. And in whatever ways I can benefit and help them, literally or directly, I'm going to do that. Where I'm not able to provide direct help, at least I will generate strong wishes to benefit them. I will send those positive thoughts to benefit them. So that's how we cultivate altruism.
And
And so now we cultivate renunciation, we cultivate bodhicitta, and then the third level that level is called cultivating the insight into emptiness, or shunyata in Sanskrit and sunata in Pali. And so sunata or shunyata or emptiness is what we're talking about is the way in which everything actually exists. What is the final mode of existence of phenomena, ultimate truth of phenomena. And in order to realize this ultimate nature of phenomena called emptiness, you know, one of the best ways, perhaps, if not the best, is to learn about dependent arising or tendal pratit samutpat.
That tell kare jana ane tenjung ke request ta teni tenjung yin jun sin den ge che go de je ten ane de je tenjung ru pan di ne tang ye chao de ge pe tang ye ge chao ge ta wan ne ba ti ge ta wan ne ba mang bu ta wan ga yo che ta ta ti pa du bi nan ge ta ta tar da a tan de chi ne teni gisola tawe tawat pa meb zoya la cargo san tenju to mani te to gres to mani te to ba sheba la ane cargo san tenju gre pate ne bat che gres kan te je tenju gre bande ine tangi tawat de che proses u mani gwan pa ni dawat go sundo wa
Just as great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states in his Madhyamik Avatar or Supplement to the Middle Way, and Gisela quoted the lines from his memory, that we need to use dependent arising as a reason to cut through the whole network of distorted views or the distorted viewpoints or the perceptions. And there are five distorted viewpoints, such as what we call, technical term is transitory view, or the view of transitory collection. In Tibetan called jikta, okay, transitory view or the view of transitory collection. And another one is the extreme views, tartha in Tibetan. So in order to cut through this whole kind of a network of distorted or perverted views, we need to use the logic, the reasoning of dependent arising. So it's through reasoning of dependent arising that we cut through these distorted viewpoints and we are able to understand and realize the emptiness. So what is dependent arising? Tenjung, or dependently arisen, tenjung in Tibetan. We could understand it in at least two different ways. Because there are different types of phenomena, a phenomena meaning that everything that exists, we can categorize them into two types. One is called produced phenomena or composite phenomena, duce in Tibetan. Produced or composite phenomena, and the other one is called unproduced or non-composite phenomena, dumache in Tibetan. Okay, so within these two categories, we can include everything that exists. So in the case of produced phenomena, dependent arising or dependently arisen could be understood in terms of cause and effect relationship, right? Because of these causes, you know, and conditions, these things arise, these things are produced, okay? So that kind of understanding of dependent arising is applicable to produced phenomena. Now, dependent arising can also be understood in terms of relativity. Okay, that is, of course, that includes everything that exists, but that is also particularly, if you will, applicable to unproduced phenomena, or what we call dumate, non-composite phenomena. And so in other words, that because there are things such as composite phenomena, so we can relatively establish there are phenomena called non-composite. Or because we know that there is impermanence, right? So in relation, because in relation to the things that are impermanent, we can assert and establish that there are permanent phenomena. So permanence and impermanence are established relatively in relation to each other. So are the produced and unproduced phenomena. So I just gave you two different interpretations or understanding of dependent arising, tenjo, or dependently arisen. And so one is in terms of cause and effect, and one is in terms of relativity. Now the cause and effect interpretation is kind of limited in the sense that that is only applicable, as I just explained, to things which are produced by their causes and conditions. So that means only refer to half of the phenomena, if you will, which are called produced phenomena. Now, dependent arising as the relativity, now that is a very broad concept, and it applies to all phenomena. And so what relativity means is that, you know, we posit an existence of a phenomenon in relation to other phenomena. Okay. And now that kind of understanding or the concept applies to everything that exists, right? In relation to composite phenomena, we posit non-composite phenomena. In relation to permanent phenomena or impermanent phenomena, we posit permanent phenomena, and so on. So to sum up, this is what I'm talking about. Everything that exists, we call phenomena, are objects of knowledge, sheta in Tibetan. Okay, objects of knowledge include everything that exists. Okay, and chö or dharma, everything that exists, and so at the highest level of understanding what emptiness is or what dependent arising is this, that everything exists is nothing but a mere label or imputation onto a valid basis of imputation. So that's very technical, and I know it's a mouthful for me to say it. And so what we're talking about that is that every phenomenon has what we call a valid basis of labeling or imputation. Dakshi Tsema in Tibetan. Dakshi meaning basis, Tsema meaning valid. So there is a valid basis of labeling or imputation onto which a conceptual thought labels or imputes whatever the label or the imputation is. So that's why that phenomena are nothing but a mere labels or imputations. That's how they exist. There's nothing more, nothing less. They are just mere imputations labeled by conceptual thoughts onto the respective valid basis of imputations. So you can mule over that now for a while. So in order to understand and realize emptiness of any phenomenon, we must be able to, I should say, stay on the middle path. The middle path is defined in terms of avoiding or abandoning the two extremes. There are two, if you will, extremes meaning pitfalls. One is called the extreme of eternalism, Takta in Tibetan, and the other is called extreme of nihilism or Cheda, or annihilation. So if we fall into any of these two extremes or the pitfalls or the traps, well then we are not on the middle path. You know, we lost it. So the middle path, you know, avoid these two extremes, and by following the middle path, as elucidated by great Indian master pioneer Arya Nagarjuna, and Nagarjuna elucidated the middle path exactly in accordance with Buddha's own thought and intention, as Buddha has predicted. So by understanding the middle path and following it, we are able to realize emptiness as it is.
Ti toba sheba la samu tomba nyitun togwe. Samu tomba nyitun ma toba kwali toba mebre. So zda samu tomba nyitun toba sheba la ta kargo gwe resen an ten jung rikwa te. Ten jung ane ane jung yi tsut khe gwe.
So those of us who are seeking you know, complete liberation or freedom from samsara or cyclic existence, we must realize emptiness as it is. There's no other way around it. There's no alternative, there's no substitute, you know, there's no other option. This is it. And so we need to realize emptiness, which is a must to be free from samsara. And in order to realize emptiness, you know, we have to understand what dependent arising is, or dependently arisen means, and use that as a reasoning to cut through distorted views and understand emptiness.
Well, then there's some sahne jazi jambo kiola ke, ane tongi tawe chonji si gomba kama tedo ni tongi tawe choran jugo ris kana. Gomba kama tedo ni sa degi matas kudo ke nani ane na jeng kyanga pote ta ti tobi talbi ins kana.
And it is for that reason, great Indian Bodhisattva Mahasattva, Maha meaning the great of the great, Bodhisattva Shantideva, states very clearly in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, as Kishala has quoted from his memory, he said that, by realizing emptiness, one will be liberated. All other meditations are just for that. Now, what does that mean? When we look at the 16 characteristics of the Four Noble Truths, each truth has four attributes or characteristics. So, emptiness is one of them. Once you realize emptiness as it is, so that realization liberates you or me or anybody from samsara, and meditations or the remaining attributes, because there are 15 of them, right? Out of 16, you realize emptiness, there are 15 left. So the remaining attributes or the meditation or the remaining attributes is just for that. It's to understand emptiness.
Leta nyomo sepe taras. Ranji le yobi leta nyomo nyobi kare sena kadi sebi na ni taba taba reis gan. Leta nyomo nam to le dada tuli taba na tongba ni ching kapan jus. Leta nyomo nyobi kare ten shomre sena nam to le ten shomre s. Ata nam to le. Ta nam to den meva kare chagre sena tongba ni ching kapan jus. Tongba ni ching kato don dada meva chagre s gan nangdo.
And as Nagarjuna answers very clearly this kind of question, if you ask, you know, when do we attain liberation or nirvana, freedom from cyclic existence? And then as Kishala quoted the lines from his memory, Nagarjuna answers, whenever we put an end to contaminated karmic actions and delusions. So whenever contaminated karmic actions and delusions come to an end, it is at that point of time we are liberated. And then he goes on to explain from where do contaminated karmic actions and delusions arise. Come from, he said, they come from Namdok. Namdok can be translated as they arise from grasping, conceptual grasping at true existence. Okay, and so what can help us to cut through grasping at true existence and put an end to karma and delusions? Then Nagarjuna answers, you should realize emptiness. Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jigme Rinpoche has clearly stated in his work called Praising the Law of Relativity. Now that is a great praise to Shakyamuni Buddha for teaching dependent arising or Pratitisamutpada. And as Geshe-la quoted the lines exactly from his memory, Lama Tsongkhapa addresses Buddha, said, O Buddha, whatever you have taught, chinyakadeva, whatever you said, meaning whatever you taught, it has all to do with dependent arising or tendal pratitisamutpada. Okay, so the explanation given on this is that Buddha taught numerous things, right? When we go through the extensive classification of Buddha's teaching, we talk about 84,000 forms of discourses. But whatever Buddha taught, what is behind that teaching, if you will, is that all his teachings either explicitly, that is directly, or implicitly, indirectly, lead us to understand dependent arising and emptiness. So that is the purpose of all Buddha's teaching. And that shows us the importance and the significance of realizing dependent arising.
Sunsa, that koi nyeshan samalo, sunsa kani shumbra sena, dangzi marik pali shumar bas. Sesa dangzi marik pati, that the Sawati Kabina, Covid Sawati. That Covid Sawati as a Kesakta, Lashad Bakargo is not damn it of charity. So that seems that Tak Harikinambi in a Sanjikum did the Jusum Chigone, and a Tak Kuchu Karasumbing in any somewhat Tomani and Tel and Babata, and it took it up, Kinjums, Tasum with Jan Chagures, Kanandua.
And now to kind of summarize my points here, why are we really stuck in samsara? If you say, spell out, one particular cause, because of which we are stuck in samsara, or we have been stuck in samsara all this long, then the answer to that is because of our grasping at true existence of self. Okay? That is the root delusion and the root cause from which all other delusions arise, and that's why we are stuck in samsara. Now, if we uproot this grasping at true existence, then we can liberate ourselves completely from samsara. That's great news. Now, how do we do that? And the only method or the means or the tools by which we can cut through this route is by realizing emptiness as it is. There's no other way around it. Okay? And because of that, everything Buddha taught, either explicitly or implicitly, guide us into what dependent arising means, and through that, what emptiness means.
That is
And as great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states in his supplement to the Middle Way, and again Kishore quoted a stanza from his memory, he says that a yogi, meaning meditator, meditators who see that it is from the view of transitory recollection all other distorted perceptions arise and delusions arise, so they will make every effort to cut through that view, the transitory view. They will make every effort to put an end to seize upon this the view of the grasping.
Ale ngaran tsama loga ane ta tungsa pe me mangbo chigi mada singe mangbo chigi ane ta nesi so xiong ge ta ta gana ye chi ane so xi ma xio na ya ta ti ane pe garse ta bange mangbo nyong ge res ta tungzu ge che do ane ngar so man kam kha ge chiring ga man ge de phan bi ge res.
Before we do dedication, I would like to get your attention to participate in reciting the mantra of compassion, Om Mani Padme Hum, sixth level mantra of Arya Avalokiteshvara, for those who have lost lives in our these great tragedies brought upon us by Katrina and Rita, and many lost their lives and everything, but most survive, but still they are in a very difficult situations, and so we think about them, and we would like to send our prayers, for their well-being. So please join me in this recitation of Om Mani Padme Hum. By virtue of our collective merit, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and authentic spirituality.
Donna, Magin Sengi Tamji, Shidit Tang Hendubji, Ane Njibali Tony, Sanji Kumbarumbuji Tobi Jirjiji.
In short, we dedicate our merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of mental obscuration to liberation and mental obscuration to omniscient state, and may we all reach complete enlightened state soon.
Roy, 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 Ro Two extremes. One was not seen, right?